We continue looking at the book of Exodus together, and today we find ourselves in the sixth chapter of Exodus, where Moses is, in essence, getting his marching orders. He's being given the job that he's been called to do. As you recall from our previous understanding, our previous reading of Exodus, Moses already had that burning bush experience where he was beside the bush that was burning but was not consumed, and God was calling him to lead the people out of Egypt. I think that it was harder for Moses to say anything at that point because he's a little frightened and scared, as probably any of us would have been in that same situation. But I think by the time he gets to this point and God's being more specific with him, I think he's gotten his voice back. So let's hear what we find in the sixth chapter of Exodus, the 10th through 12th verses. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go, tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the Israelites go out of his country." But Moses said to the Lord, "If the Israelites will not listen to me, why should Pharaoh listen to me, since I speak with faltering lips?" May the Lord bless this, a portion from his holy word. Roy W. Jones was the clerk of session for my congregation in Wyalusing, Pennsylvania. Roy was probably the most efficient person I have ever met in my life. He was an incredible clerk of session and just a joy to work with and to serve with in that little country congregation in Pennsylvania. Roy had retired back to Wyalusing after a career in Rochester, New York, and he settled back into his family homestead there to enjoy his retirement years. Roy was somebody that I just always enjoyed, and he had a number of things that I was always trying to learn from him, but one of the quirky things about him that I didn't understand was you never saw Roy without 3x5 cards and an ink pen in his shirt pocket. Always, 3x5 cards and an ink pen. And so one day, one Sunday, good friends of his and Beverly's came down from Rochester to visit, and they came to church with him. And as we were conversing after the worship service, I said to his friend, "Can I ask you a question?" And he said, "Sure." I said, "You've known Roy for a long time." "Oh yeah, we go way back." I said, "Why is it that he always has his 3x5 cards in his pocket?" And he said, "Roy probably never told you much about his career, has he?" I said, "No, not really. I just knew he had a good job up in Rochester, New York." He says, "Well, Roy was the plant manager for the Stromberg Carlson plant. It was a division of the General Dynamics Corporation. And this man told me, he said, Roy had almost 5,000 employees that worked for him in and through that plant there in Rochester. And the reason he kept 3x5 cards in his pocket at all times is because he would come in the morning before the third shift left and make his way through the plant and greet every employee by name. And then as the first shift was coming in, he would greet them as they were arriving and greeted each of them by name. And then he would stay for when the second shift was coming in, and he would greet all of them in the same manner. And the reason that he had 3x5 cards in his pocket is that when he was greeting them, he was actually listening to them. And he would say, "How are you doing today?" And he said, "Sometimes somebody would say, well, my wife's in the hospital, or my mother-in-law just passed away, or, you know, this, that, or the other thing." And Roy would always take his 3x5 card out, make note of it, write down the person's name, and respond in some form or fashion, whether it was sending flowers to the hospital or a note card of condolence or whatever it might be. So he always had his 3x5 cards in his pocket to make sure that he did the right thing to take care of his employees. Now, as I got to know Roy over the course of my years of serving side by side with him, what I came to realize was that that was not a technique that he used. It's not something that he learned in some business school or from training seminar that he went to, but it was just part of who Roy is. It was part of how he lived his life, because whenever he was with somebody, whether it was somebody in the church or somebody he met on the street or in a restaurant, he stopped and he listened and he talked with them and he cared about them. You see, Roy took his Christian faith and he let it be a part of his everyday life, right where he was in that Stromberg Carlson plant. And this friend of his also told me one more interesting fact. He said that in the course of Roy's 20 years as the plant manager there, it was the only plant in the General Dynamics system, the only unionized plant in the General Dynamics system that never had a strike. You see, Roy just took who he was, his natural gifts, his natural abilities, his Christian faith, and he took it with him wherever he was, whether it was at the workplace or in a local restaurant or a church on a Sunday morning. He carried it with him. And see, that's what Moses didn't quite understand here. That when God was calling Moses, he wasn't calling Moses because he knew that Moses had the right training or the right background or anything else like that. He's calling Moses because there's something in his heart. There's something in his life that God saw was the right thing that was needed by the Israelites at that time. Now Moses, when he gets this call, as we see here in the sixth chapter, is not too thrilled with it. You know, his first response is, the Israelites aren't going to listen to me. They don't like me. I mean, because he was not raised as an Israelite. That is his birth. He was born as an Israelite, but he was raised as an Egyptian. He wasn't born into, or he wasn't raised in the slave environment that all of the Israelites knew and experienced. He was raised in the experience of the palace, of being waited on hand and foot. And the Israelites knew that about him, and they did not see him as one of their own. They saw him as somebody who was other than them. So he sees this calling that God is placing on his heart, and he says, first of all, the Israelites aren't going to listen to me. They don't like me. They're not going to respect me. They're not going to hear anything that I have to say. And secondly, God, I don't really talk too good. We don't really know exactly what it was that Moses was referring to when, in this translation, it says, I speak with faltering lips. It could have been that he stuttered. It could have been that he was not a good speaker. If I kind of went out here and said, okay, you take over for me, you know, run up there and finish my sermon for me, I'll bet you half of you would say, I can't do it. I don't speak like that. You know, it could have just been his own nervousness about speaking in front of others. We don't really know what it was, but for Moses, he thought that those two things were disqualifying factors. But they weren't. God did not disqualify him because of his background, his upbringing. God did not disqualify him because of what he saw or what Moses saw as his inability to speak well to other people. Because God saw something inside of him. God saw something about Moses, that Moses was the right man at the right time to do the right job. Now, in our lives, we might not have that kind of call upon us. that God is going to send us to do some great movement, that God is going to send us to change the way that the world lives and exists, or anything like that. But God is calling us to take our hearts, to take what is inside of us, to take our Christian faith and to make it so much a part of us that it is with us every day. That the way that we lead our lives will make a positive impact on other people. Whether it's in the workplace, the way that we deal with fellow employees, or whether it's the way that we deal with clients or customers that come into our workplace, or whether it's in our homes, or whether it's in the grocery store. How many of us go through the checkout line in the grocery store and barely acknowledge the clerk who's taking care of us? Maybe they need somebody to strike up a little conversation with them and show them that they matter to somebody. Wherever we are, whatever it is that we're doing, we're called by God to be His ambassadors, to be the ones that bring a little light and a little love into this world. The chances of a Moses coming out of this congregation are slim to none. But the chances of each one of us being able to make a positive difference in our world is 100%. Make no excuses. Try and just recognize that the promise that God made to Moses is one that He has made time and time and time again, that He would always be with you. Whatever you're doing, wherever you are, He'd give you the right words, He'd give you the right spirit, the right attitude, if only you're willing to use the gifts He's already given you to make this world a little better place. Would you pray with me? Almighty and ever-loving God, we thank You that You call us, not because You need us, but because You want us. Not because You need us to do Your work in this world, but because You want us to be a part of what You're doing. You want us to experience the joy that comes from loving others. Oh Heavenly Father, help us to have open eyes to see where You would send us. Open hearts to know how to respond. And willing feet to take us to where You would have us to be. We pray this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.